Gonna have to write down a bunch of questions then, since they want questions. James chapter number one tonight. James chapter number one. I hope this message will help us as a family and as a church. James chapter number one tonight. James chapter number one, verse number two. We're going to look at verse number two. We're going to look at a few things here. Probably not going to be long tonight. Good thing, too, because I run over. James chapter one, verse two. My brethren, I know this is going to be hard. I know this is going to be difficult. James is saying, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That diverse means different, various, several. You know, I said this a few weeks ago. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. My wife told me this weekend, she said, I understand when the big things come in life, you just take them like it's no big deal. It doesn't seem to even faze you. But the little things... And I believe that's for all of us. The Bible tells us the little foxes spoil the vines. It's those little things that just gnaw at you sometimes that you just can't understand. And I'm logical thinking, I feel like, myself for a lot of these things. And so when things don't make sense or when there's no answer, it drives me crazy.
Nervous.
Yes. But James here, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so I'm going to preach tonight on count it all joy. And I'm going to give you a way to understand this. Father, help us now tonight as we preach thy word, Lord, with all that's been going on in 2022. God, it's not started the way I wanted, but God, I know it's in your control, Lord. And the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, God. And God, I just pray whatever happens, Lord, with the cat and with everything that else has been going on lately in our lives, gas prices through the roof, food prices going up. God, I know that you're in control and you're going to continue to take care of your children. And so, Lord, as James said tonight, God, help us to count it all joy. Lord, and I help me to preach your word this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. He says here, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. I know that this is written to the Jews, and it is per se because James was a Jew, but it's also to the church because at this point in time, that God is dealing in the form of the church. And so he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse, I said, it means different, various, several. It means it's several. So when it's saying this, when he says when you fall into diverse temptations, different ones, but also means several. It means it's all going to come at once or one right after another. You know, that's what he's saying here. And James is letting us know in that temptations, that means the act of tempting, enticement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. You know, that's the way things come into your life. You know, when you're a lot of times when men are tempted, they think it's some good, or even some woman, you know, you get tempted by the opposite sex that we think it's a good thing. He says, but the, you know, the word temptation, it's an apparent, you know, it could be look good or it's an apparent. You know, we've always heard the grass is greener on the other side. You know, some guys, they divorce one woman to marry another that they cheated on the first one with, and the second one ain't got an idea. If he cheated on her with you, what do you think he's going to do with you when you're married to him? And they, you know, that's the way we think the grass is greener on the other side, you know, and we've heard the statement. But the world doesn't tell you Satan's got a septic tank underneath that grass. That's why it looks so green. But that's the way it is. People always think the grass is greener. Well, you know, Miss Billy here, she's got it all together, you know. Why am I going through all this? But you don't understand. She's going through different trials, and we're all going to face diverse, different, several different as brethren. Number one, count it all joy. It lets you know, number one, that you have to be of the brethren. You know, some of these people, we think they got it all together, or we think, man, they never go through anything. Maybe because they ain't really of the brethren. Think about that. I'm not trying to be mean to people or that, anything like that tonight. But one of the ways that you can tell when somebody is of the brethren is they go through trials. They go through diverse temptations. They have hardships. Everything's not a bed of roses. I ain't never understood that statement, though, because roses got thorns, you know. I guess they mean rose petals, but, you know, that's the one of the ways. If somebody never goes through anything and they never have any trials, they never have any temptations, they never face anything, they seem like they've got everything going good, you know, number one, that could be that they have problems, or it could be they're just not of the brethren. James lets it be known. He said, my brethren, to be it known. And it's for the brethren's sake. I told you before, we're not promised great wealth. We're not promised fame. Nor do I want fame. You know, Hollywood's drugging herself and killing herself because they've got fame. Fame is not all it's cracked up to be. I remember in school, you know, thinking, man, it would be nice to play professional sports, make them millions of dollars. But you see, the majority of those people are broke 5 years after they get out. I remember seeing the statistics. It's really bad for professional basketball. Professional basketball, it's like 2 to 3 years, 5 years average. But 3 years afterwards, the majority of them's broke 3 years after they're done with playing professional basketball. After making millions. Same thing with baseball players. I remember growing up, in my teenage years, watching Warren Sapp play football, one of the best defensive linemen, I felt like. I mean, he's a tremendous player. And Warren Sapp was broke, I think, 5 years after he got out of playing football. And so he took anything and did anything he could to make money. And that's what. So money's not all it's cracked up to be. But, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why we're here for each other. We're to help encourage one another. Though I may not be going through what you're going through, that's what we're here to help one another, casting all your cares upon Him. But He says confessing our faults and encouraging one another. Sometimes that's what it takes. You don't have to go into great details. But, hey, we're going through this. It's a trial for me. I'm an animal person. My children know that. My wife is, but she's also a hard person. And I don't mean that in a bad way. She's just not an emotional person. And she loves animals too, and she does good with them. But it just does not bother her like it bothers me, because some of the things she's already been through in life, number one. But I'm just an emotional person at times, man. And I love animals. Sometimes I love animals more than I love people, because they're a lot easier to understand than people are sometimes. But anyway, he says, my brother, this is something for the brethren. And so we should help and encourage one another as we go through things. Sometimes somebody confided in me. This has been about a year ago. Somebody here that lives here in this county was telling me that they went through something years ago. They went through something. And they were in a church. And the church knew that they was going through this. And not one person, not even the pastor, ever came up to them and said, I'm praying for you. Do you need anything? And just tried to encourage them. I don't want to be like that as a church. I don't want to be like that as a pastor. Now, if you want to be personal, you want to be a private person and keep it yourself, then don't tell me. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go blab it. If you tell me not to blab it, that's one thing. But if you don't want somebody coming up and asking you, hey, are you okay? Are you getting through this? Then you better not tell me, because I'm going to do that. Because I know what it's like to go through things and nobody. I know what it's like to be in a church and going through something and nobody in the church, or seem like everybody else in the church, is on the opposite end of what you believe and what you're trying to fight for. I know what it's like, I'm kidding.
So if you want encouragement, you tell me. Now, if you tell me not to tell anybody, and so be it. I'm not telling. I didn't mean it like I'm going to go blab. I want to make that clear. I just mean, if I know that a lot of people out here are private. My wife and I learned right quick. There are people that die and find out afterward. Everybody finds out afterward. They died of cancer. They've known for 2 years and didn't tell anybody. That is, people are private. You wouldn't make it in the South. We're going to find out one way or another, okay? I don't know how, but we're going to find out.
Yeah.
It is, but here, even in small towns, yeah, people keep stuff private. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're saved, you're part of the family. And family's supposed to help. I know that your family is probably like my family. It don't seem like you can get help from them. But as a Christian family, we are to encourage and help one another. And so James is saying, my brethren. And so he's letting it known, hey, that's what we're to be. Number two, to be able to count it all joy, you need to be of the brethren. Number two, you need to be of a ready mind when ye fall. Hey, he's letting you know it's going to come. It's just a matter of when, not if. When you fall, he said, you're going to fall into stuff. And if you're part of the brethren, if you're part of the saved, and I told you before, he said in this life, ye shall have tribulations. He didn't say great wealth. He didn't say many friends. He didn't say fancy cars or fancy house. He said, ye shall have tribulations. And so James is reiterating this. He's saying, hey, when you fall, you better be of a ready mind. You need to be ready. I'm warning you, brethren. It's a coming your way. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. That's why we go to church 3 times a week. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I give you God's word as much as I can. Because you're going to go through some things. And when you go through these things, you're going to feel like you're all alone. Even sometimes, even when you're married, you're going to feel like you're going through it all alone. As I've heard other preachers say, and I'm not trying to be mean or anyway, but unless you really have been a preacher, I thought I understood, even as a preacher, but till being a pastor, I really did not grasp. It is a lonely profession. It is a lonely profession. And not that y'all are trying to be, it just feels like you're all alone. Even when you're fellowshipping regularly, even when the church is full, you feel like that you're alone all the time. But it's your flesh, a lot of it. It's the devil trying to get at you. And that's why that's why Paul warned that a lot of the warfare that we have is in our mind. And as a preacher, I see why that I've seen so many preachers get discouraged and quit. I mean, I've seen preachers get discouraged and quit running in big churches. It's not. It ain't necessarily in the numbers. It just happens because I know it's. I don't know if you can hear the side of verse to back this up, but I heard our previous pastor say that idleness is the devil's handiwork. And sometimes being alone and being idle is some of the worst things that you can do because that's why. Hey, the Bible says. I guess you could back up like this. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so it's along those same lines. When you have idleness of time, especially this generation, you get yourself in a lot of trouble. And so James here is saying, hey, you need to be, when ye fall, so you need to be of a ready mind. It's coming. You need to be prepared. You need to know. When some boy comes up trying to smooth talk you up at the diner, you slap him in the face and you tell him, I belong to the Lord. And God's prepared some boy for me, some young man for me that my daddy will like. And I don't know who he is. He ain't come along yet.
Hopefully.
But listen, it's going to happen. Hey, you've got examples in your life of other girls. That's why we tell you about them other girls that come from preachers' homes that have fallen like that. We don't do that to be mean to them or to scare you. If I could, I'd have you sit down with every one of them so they could give you a warning and tell you what'll happen if you don't watch yourself. Hey, it goes for us men too. God, the devil will send some woman to come in. That's why you ought to be protected. Hey, listen to your wife, men. Sometimes they just know. My wife, I think, is just overprotective. If any woman just looks at my wife, she's ready to jump on her like a cat on her. But hey, I'm telling y'all that God gives them that insight. They're doing that to protect you. Now, sometimes they might be a little jealous. Ain't nothing wrong with. I know some of you, perfect, real love, that don't get jealous. Hey, I'm telling you what, if she didn't get jealous, I'd get worried. I'm telling you what, if my wife didn't get jealous, I'd be worried she's doing something I need to know about. I feel like she's protecting me.
James is telling you, it's going to happen, so you need to be of a ready mind. He said, I'm warning you, count it all joy when you fall. Hey, he said, be ready, but be happy about it. Hey, but why? Why, preacher?
Because God's using you for a reason. If God, the temptation's not from God, but God allows that temptation to come in your life. Why? So that you can, number one, so that we can learn what we can handle. But number two, so that we can be an example. Others may see us going through it and say, I don't know how you get through that. How are you doing? How are you dealing with all that? Let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you about Jesus. See, 21 years ago, I trusted in the Lord as the Lord Jesus Christ to become my personal Lord and Savior. And He gets me through these things. Now, sometimes I get myself apart and I keep myself. I tell you, and it ain't just preachers and all. It's all of we are our own worst enemy. I've told y'all before, we are our own worst enemies. We'll kick ourselves while we're down. God be trying to bring us up. I felt like, especially during these last few weeks with some things been going on, I feel like every time God tries to pick me up, and sometimes He just encourages me, sometimes He sends my wife along, I'm like, I don't deserve it, Lord. And kick myself down a few more times. I'm telling you, we're our own worst enemies. James is trying to give us a warning here. Listen, you better be ready to mind. It will come. It's not a matter if, it's a matter when. Long as you say, it's going to happen. If you're saying, if you are saying, the devil's going to send some little boy around. I don't know which one he's going to send around for this number here, but that boy better be tough because he's going to get punched in the nose. And he won't be the first boy she punched in the nose either. He's going to send things in your life. The devil's going to put things in your life to tempt you, diverse. I ain't even scratching the ground. You may come up to me one day and you may tell me some temptation you've been through that I've never even thought of. You know, you may be tempted to go out and buy some old 69 Camaro, you know, and soup it up and stuff like that. I don't know. You may be tempted to go out and buy some house that you don't need just because, it's my dream house, preacher. I deserve it. No, the only thing we deserve is death and hell if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. That's where we'd be. Hey, you need to be of a ready mind. How do you do that? Number three, you need to be of the brethren. You need to be of a ready mind. You need to be a skillful soldier. A skillful soldier. See, you know, we're soldiers. If you're saved tonight, you are a soldier of Christ. We all know that. I can go into that. I've gone into that. We are all soldiers for the cause of Christ. But you know what? It's those real soldiers. Not putting off on the others. Now don't get me wrong. I got a lot of respect for soldiers. But it's those SEALs and those Rangers and those Special Ops and all those different ones that they have been trained for about every type of situation. My wife's been into that here lately. I'm kind of wondering, she's into the SEALs. I don't know what I need to know. But anyway, they're teaching them how to eat underwater. I can eat underwater too if you give me a bowl that's got air in it so I can just put the food. You know, they are taught for that wide range of situations. They try to train them for everything possible. They had one die in training just, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? They just had one die and another one get severely hurt. Why? Because they were trying to save their lives. Though that one boy got killed. Though that one person got killed. I assume it was a man, but that one got killed. Though he got killed, they are really trying to save their lives so that they can go through with that one, Marcus. What that man went through. Hey, what that man was able to endure. Had he not had that training, he wouldn't have been endured. So a lot of people signed up. I remember back as I became a senior, getting on up into my class, high school, my last couple years of high school, you know, a lot of people just signed up. They were signing up. This is why I'm all for taking care of the military. I'm all for giving them benefits. But there was too many of them in the early 2000s that were going in for the reasons of it was giving them a free college. And when war broke out, whether you agreed with it or not, I'm not getting into that tonight, but when war broke out, a lot of them complained, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. You exactly signed up for that. When you see, you thought, well, I'm just signing my name on here just to get me a free education. No, you signed up for if the war breaks out that you go, you're going. And there were a lot of them back in there in that early in 2002 when the war started up that were complaining, I didn't sign up for this. This ain't what I signed up for. I just signed up to get free college. No, that ain't what you signed up for. And I understand as Christians that may not have been something that you may realize when you got saved. But it is one of the things that does come along with salvation. Hey, we will face trials. And so you need to be a skillful soldier. You need to learn. That's why we preach three times a week. That's why we do what we can. That's why, hey, we want to do more than just even this. I'd like to do more. I told you before, there's a college course type thing that the Faith Bible Institute that I'd love to do. And it takes 10 people to sign up for it and puts you through in 3 years, 3.5 years, I think it is. You go through the Bible. You can get a degree type thing from them, but you go through the Bible like you want. Hey, that's what it takes. If you're going to go through diverse temptations, different ones, you need to be a skillful soldier. You need to know how to deal with the wide range of situations. How do you do that? Through God's Word. That's why God's Word has so many different authors. That's why God had so many people of different backgrounds. That's why God used women of different backgrounds. That's why God used men of different backgrounds, so that we all can relate to different ones. We can relate to the Peters of life. We can relate to the Pauls. We may not be, not all of us can relate to the Daniels or the Hebrew boys that went through the furnace of fire. But hey, as men, sometimes we can relate to David and realize, hey, you know, in an instant I can mess up like that too if I'm not careful. That's why God gave us this 66 books. God gave us all these 1,189 chapters and Psalms so that we could prepare ourselves to be skillful soldiers for the cause of Christ. And in 21 years of salvation, I still don't know everything in this Bible, though I've read through it multiple times. It's amazing how this living Word, I can read through the book of Psalms right now and guarantee you that something, right reading just through the book of Psalms, it's a 99% chance that I'm going to see something that I feel like, hey, I've never seen that before. God just brings it to life. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs right now in the morning before I go to work. I'm reading through the book of Proverbs and I'm like, bam, just some of these things just jumping out. I'm like, I've had to read this before. I've read this book, I don't know how many times I've read the book of Proverbs. And something just jump out and I'm like, ooh, that's going to make a good article for the paper. Lord, thank you. I appreciate that. I needed that. God just brings those things out. That's what we need. He says here, he says in verse number 2, he said, when you fall into diverse temptations, why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That one thing that most of us thought when we were young, we didn't really want. Man, who wants patience? Well, patience, you get some patience from children, that's for sure. Hey, yeah, you'll learn. You got about the thickness of a hair of patience. You got a long ways to go. I thought I didn't have patience when I was 20-something. You got a long ways to go. I remember one time I was rebuilding a motorcycle, a little Kawasaki motorcycle I bought from a guy. And I had the twin carburetors. And I bought the new diaphragms for them. I was out there in July in my dad's garage or shop out there rebuilding this thing. And I was out there, I bet an hour. I'm pretty sure I'm not exaggerating. It was a while. By the time I walked in the house, I'd been out there probably an hour. I am North Carolina, July, I am dripping sweat. I am soaked from top to bottom trying to put those, forgive me the word, stupid friends in those things. If you've never done it, I could not get them things in there because I did not have patience. I walked in there, handed them to my daddy, handed them to your papa. 10 minutes, he handed them to me. He said, here you go. I was so mad. All it took was a man just sitting there, just calling. Here I was for an hour. I'm soaked in sweat. I mean, I'm dripping from my fingers everywhere. He lasted 10 minutes. I handed them two diaphragms and them two carburetors, and he goes, get some things in there. It may have been even 5 minutes. I've been out there. Patience. Hey, yeah, it is a hard thing to learn, too. And by no means have I arrived. And I'm sure there's some of them in here older probably feel the same way. But you know that you're not where you started at either, aren't you? You know that you're not the same way. We're not the same level of patience we had when we were 18. But James says here, let patience have her perfect work. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abideth not, and it shall be given him. If you lack the wisdom to deal with the temptation or the trial that you're going through, God says, ask him. Ask him, and he's willing to give it to you. He says he'll not only give it to you, he'll give it to you liberally. See, we've distorted what liberal means in our day and time. Liberal now means these people on the left that think that liberal to them means giving away everybody else's money. True liberal is like this, like God. God is giving of himself the wisdom. God's not expecting you to give wisdom. So God says he'll give you the wisdom. That's what real liberalism is that you or that person gives, not giving somebody else's. God says he'll give you. So if you lack the ability to get through the trial, if you lack the wisdom to know how to deal with this, God will give you that wisdom. Pray and ask. He said ask, and God will give you that wisdom liberally. He says here, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. Verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. So there's the key to that too. When you're asking God for the help and the wisdom to get through it, ask it in faith, not wavering. God, this is what I need. This is the help I need. This is the wisdom I need. And I believe by faith that you'll give it to me. Help me, Lord. Not wavering. He says, why? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not him that think that he shall receive anything, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. That man that's double-minded, that man that's wavering, if you're going to waver, don't think that God's going to give it to you. God's not going to give it to somebody that can't be strong and stand. He said he won't give it to it. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's saying, if you can't be stable in whatever that little temptation is, that little diverse temptation, if you can't be stable and ask God for the wisdom and the help to get through it, he said, you're unstable in everything. You'll do it in everything. These people that are willing to compromise and willing, that's why I keep compromise on the Word of God. These people that are willing to compromise on God's Word and compromise on this doctrine, that's why I keep compromising. I refuse to compromise on creation the way God said. Because he says a double-minded man is unstable. If they're willing to compromise on what it says at the beginning of how God created this world, they'll compromise. You mark it down. They'll compromise on salvation. They'll compromise on that virgin birth. They'll compromise that Jesus was God in the flesh. Why? Because they're unstable in one of the simplest doctrines right from the start. Genesis 1 and 2 is the foundation of that Bible. We started this church. When I started this church, when we started there, when we started the Bible study in our house, and when I started the articles in the paper, I started on the foundation that God created this world. If you can't stand on that, according to that Bible, how do you know then the rest of it's true? If you can't believe chapters 1 and 2, why would you believe the chapters about salvation? Why would you believe the chapters and the book verses about the virgin birth or that Jesus was God in the flesh? That's why it's important to have that sure foundation. And don't be double-minded. Be sure in what this Bible says and stay true to it. Count it all joy because Jesus Christ will get you through it. And He'll be the wisdom you need to do that. Even when you're hurting, even when it doesn't look like there's an answer, He'll get you through it. Let's all stand. Count it all joy today. Hey, that faith, as Brother Vole said, that faith needs to be added to. And that's the way God adds to it. My Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, may we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, Lord, knowing, Lord, that is one of those things, God, that shows us, Lord, that we are saved. Lord, it may not be easy. God, it is proof, Lord, that we are saved, God, knowing that, God, that You're in control no matter what comes our way. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.